Hello, welcome to Misadventures, a Gloomhaven podcast brought to you by Gamer Public Radio. This episode contains spoilers for scenario number 43, scenario number 13, and scenario number 17. This episode also contains spoilers for class number 8, class number 15, and class number 16. Please enjoy responsibly. So there we were, holding team tryouts for the new tank in the middle of a room full of very angry drakes. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Misadventures. Good to have you back with us. As always, we'll start going around the room and introducing everybody's characters. Things have gotten mixed up with some new party members recently, so it's always good to have a refresher. I'm Casey, and I am playing Sherlock Stones, the Elementalist.
I am Garrett, and I am playing Herd Nerfer, the Scoundrel. Still.
I am Skip. I'm playing the human Sawbones, DJ Bloodwright.
And I'm Steve. I'm playing as the Cragheart, Loquacious James.
All right. So we decided to kick things off this week with a scenario we've actually had open for a while called Drake Nest. And we've had hints that we can get the ability to breathe underwater by going and doing this quest, which we honestly don't need to do right now. We are just, it seems like something that'll come up later, especially since it's a global achievement and things like that. So we're going to go ahead and do it now, just to have it for later. Plus it sounded more interesting than our other options. We're kind of to a point now where we wrapped up a major quest line last week, so we have a lot fewer options to go with. So we're just kind of, you know, this seems like a loose end. It's kind of a part of another quest line we never did get around to. So tying that up, and then we'll start jumping into some new stuff. So, episode or scenario 43, Drake Nest. This is our first scenario with the Elementalist. It's also our first scenario ever without the Brute. And who's really going to take up that tanking role?
It's the Scoundrel. To be seen. It is. It's the Scoundrel.
Yep.
I mean, you would think it'd be the Cragheart, but the Cragheart has some things going against it in that realm from time to time.
Yeah. I think you put quite a few hit points, didn't you? Like they were way above everyone else.
The problem though is the Cragheart's got pretty slow initiative.
Also, I was super paranoid because I went from 26 hit points to 6.
Not a lot.
Yeah, I'm just gonna chill in the back the entire game.
Although with your retirement, we dropped like a full 2 monster levels, I believe, right? Or was it just 1?
I believe, we dropped down to monster level 3. I think we had just moved into 5, maybe for a couple of scenarios.
It was a welcome change.
But however, this very first room put my 6 hit points to the test because flame demons in there with retaliate 2 at range. So that was, even with just 2 of them being in there, it took us a little while to overcome them because we were trying to find ways of not taking too much damage, but finishing them off quickly. So I kind of have to start with the Elementalist. You kind of have to start getting things rolling early on. You got to spend a couple turns getting your elements generated so you can start getting in a rhythm.
Yeah, because you can do basic attacks, but like they get pumped up by having those elements ready to roll, right?
Yeah, and so I was able to use some AoE attacks to get some attacks in at range without taking retaliate and then getting my elements generated, and that was really what I was focusing on this room. And I believe DJ Bloodwright just already figured without the Brute we were going to take a lot of damage and just started handing med packs out immediately.
Yeah. He's not wrong.
Right. No, exactly. Not at all.
I do remember here. I started on the opposite side of you, and I remember you actually, Casey, saying, I'm going to kind of back behind everybody as much as you can because you were kind of low on health. So I actually worked my way to the other side as yet another blocker because I knew you were gonna get wrecked if we didn't stop it all. So.
Well, and this is 6 hit points at like level 4, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a soft body for sure.
No doubt.
But kudos to you, Casey, for kudos to you for like withholding or withstanding the temptation to tank in. Yeah, I mean, you've been playing as a tank this whole time.
Now, aside from those little flamers, there were cultists. And Daddy likes cultists. You know. Oh, sorry. Nope.
I think you're looking at a different scenario.
I was misremembering.
There,
you're right.
Yeah, no, this was.
I should clarify a little bit, by the way. I have 9 hit points at level 4. Level 1 is 6. It's up to 9. It's up to
so
9
I don't know
now.
What you're complaining about. See,
that's a 50% increase. That's huge.
That is a big deal. It felt like I had 6.
Just to cycle back to our goal on this scenario, by the way, was to kill the number of drakes equal to 4 times the number of characters.
Yeah.
It's a lot of drakes, man, especially when we're starting with no drakes in the first room.
Yeah.
Like, I think we all saw how this was going to go. We're trying to kill drakes, and it's just going to keep throwing demons at us while we're doing
that. Because God forbid you let us go ahead and kill the giant mountain of drakes you want us to kill.
Yeah, that's just not happening.
But yeah, we chewed through the flame demons without too much incident. Like, nobody got any major hits on them or anything, if I remember right.
Nah, we were pretty cautious about engaging them, and it worked out pretty well. Then the next room was huge. Like, it's a real big room. It's like the biggest tile piece, and there's 4 rooms branching off of that we have to open doors to. And there's
only 5 drakes in this room.
Yeah, there are actually more traps in this room than drakes. 6 traps, a bunch of boulders that Loquacious is probably really happy to see, and then a couple more flame demons.
Hello, boulders, my old friend.
Well, and I love to see a trap, so. Yeah, and those little side rooms, they're like small 4-block
rooms. Yeah,
they're
like 2x2x4 or something.
They were pretty small.
They're little closets, basically. Monster closet, literally.
That's right. You're right. Monster closet. Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, with the flame demons, what really kills me, too, is all my ranged attacks that I have in my hand that do decent damage are range 2.
You'd say that really burns you up?
Right. I would. But it also means that I can just say, Jesus, take the wheel, and just go all in on my melee instead of, like, hopping around.
I will say, I took an interesting item with the elementalist. I took the Hawk Helm was one of the items I ended up taking.
What's that guy do again?
And what it allows me to increase my range by 1 on a ranged attack, which, you know, I kind of had a little bit of gold left. I was like, we'll try it out and see what happens. And definitely against those flame demons, it came in handy a time or two just to give me that extra little bit of distance to on a couple of my attacks to keep from getting retaliated against.
And there are 2 of those in the central room, right?
Yeah.
Although I think these guys were just normal and the first room was elite. So we had that going for us at least.
Yeah, they just replaced their elite status with a bunch of rending drakes and spitting drakes.
Right? Yeah, piece of cake.
Easy.
But, I mean, at least you can get them down quicker. In theory.
Nope.
Oh,
I thought there was something following those up with some boulders from Loquacious moving right up in there.
Well, I'm pretty sure the opening salvo in that one was Herd hucking traps at people.
Oh, yeah, you got the party started.
Yeah, I ran in there, threw a trap, put on my favorite cloak to get cozy,
Yeah, I think what I love about this, though, is it just happened to time out with you leveling to get that card for the trap throwing. But I like within the...
Yeah. Yeah, this is my first scenario.
I like within the context of the story, though, is that you've seen Loquacious just hucking boulders, and you're like, hey, I want to try that. And then you throw a trap, and you're like, this works real well. Yeah.
He just closed on that guy's head.
You went in, did your thing, threw a trap, went invisible. Loquacious jumped in, spawned some boulders, because that's what he does.
Then I finally had my engine running a little bit, so I was able to hop in there and start doing some nice attack 4s and attack 5s at range. Yeah. I was generating like 4 elements a turn at this point, a lot of turns, and so we're definitely putting Skip's app through the ringer here, and it held up well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sorry. It was just perfect because, like, trying to keep up with as much elemental stuff as you do now would just be really annoying.
Plus, I would, like, because I'm the one doing it all, I would have to man that board and, like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I think it was between me and Skip, and we just, like, one of us would catch. You're just calling out elements you're making, and one of us would catch it.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of the, like, I think, I don't know if you were last in the room or maybe I was last in the room, but the new car that I got, I can't remember when it was, is Euthanize, whatever, that I could straight up kill a monster if it had two negative effects on it, was the top part. And the bottom part was actually put three negative effects on a creature. So that mixed with the stamina potions, yeah, I really started to enjoy this character a little more, because I would play the bottom part, get it right back, and then immediately turn around and kill him. So that worked out pretty well.
Nice little combo there.
No, I mean, it's no rum and coke. That's
pretty good,
it's
though. Still a combo. Like that he's just offing things.
So we start off, I guess, in here. I mean, we did a lot of throwing, and then the spitting drakes did some throwing back and managed to land attacks on Herd, Loquacious, and Sherlock, which then immediately kept Bloodright quite busy. But luckily, we already had some med packs, so the flame beam started moving up on us.
I think actually this was the one where my specialty card of like heal 7, but I take 2 damage, it got put through the works, because I was going around killing everybody up with that one.
Yeah, we were pretty well clustered for that one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. Did this have a thing that was generating these fire spirits?
No, not this one.
Okay. Couldn't remember.
But yeah, speaking of the flame demons, they started moving up on us, but... Herd, I believe you started moving back to start taking care of the spitting drakes in the back of the room, while DJ Bloodright started working on some rending drakes in the front to kind of just give us a little bit of breathing room and recover from that big AoE attack. So you guys were kind of dividing, and then that allowed Loquacious and Sherlock to start dishing out some range damage while you tied things up. And then, I mean, just kind of one by one, we just started picking things off.
Yeah, that
I do believe, though, Loquacious got an opportunity to tank a little bit in this room.
Yeah, he took a few hits. I think it was it the leather armor that you get like a free shield on attack? I was using that to some good effect.
But so we wrapped up this room, and there's a whole lot of options for where to go next. There are 2 doors on the right side of the room we were in. I think we opened up both because they were both really small. They're very small rooms. They each had 4 drakes in them. So we kind of got to balance those out of kick the door in, sit back, kind of. Yeah. Block them in a little bit and toss some range stuff in.
You say sit back because I was inside. There wasn't much back sitting.
Yeah, no. We kicked one in first just to check it out. We saw the 4, did a little fighting, realized the other one was probably going to be a mirror, and that's when we were going to split up and open that one. But we did have to worry about we were going to try to tie them up in the door, but realized the spitting drakes both could fly over their friends and attack range past them. But they did stack up, which was nice for some AoE stuff.
Yeah, and I guess I should clarify that. I sat back for a change while Herd, I guess.
Which, there's no shame in that. That's your character. That's how you play it.
But
good on you for not.
I believe I was able to get. I've got an attack that kind of I can use a bunch of different elements to do things, and I was able to. I think I get a couple of stuns out on a couple of the targets here to kind of help with the flyers and slow them down some.
Yeah. I remember, I don't know if it was in this room or not, but you got real excited at one point when one of us played a card that made win. And you're like, oh crap, I can use that too. And it just stacked on top of like 3 other elements you were going to use on your next card.
It has attack 0, but I can use 4 elements to get it up to like an attack 4 that targets 2 people and stuns and pushes. It got a little silly.
Yeah. But yeah, then we cleared out that second room. Well, kind of pulled things out of it and then killed them in the
main. But I mean, they were easy enough because it's just 4 drakes a room and we didn't have the flames to deal with. So kind of just power through it, you know.
Was this the second room off to the side or the?
The two little closets, not the big long closet.
Yeah, I thought we actually got stuck in the second one for whatever reason. Like something happened and we had to like finagle our the way we moved out.
Well, Herd was stuck back there. I don't think he got all the way.
We had a spitting drake that backed up into the corner, and we had to deal with that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there's also a spitting drake did get out into the main room and started attacking me, and that affected things a little bit. I believe Loquacious came to my aid, and then actually Bloodrite gave me a shield in that situation as well. So that kind of took our focus off the room for a minute.
We cleared out the rest of the things that were in that room, and then we had a decision to make because we had like this. I think the northern room is slightly larger than the other side room, and we were trying to decide because the northern room was surrounded by traps around the door,
which just and like, so we know what that means. We've seen that enough times. There's probably the treasure chest that we know is in this map is probably in there, and it's probably got a million things around it.
I know, and Tots was really, really on board with going in that room, I believe, and he was arguing that there was treasure.
I remember, actually, I when we were working on the second room, and I had started to leave because, you know, we were getting clumped up, and there's nothing I could really do, because I had threatened to jump over the traps with my boots, wing boots, jump over the trap, open the door, because, you know, I wanted something in there if there's a chest, but then I remember every single time I open a chest, it blows up in my face, so I decided not to, and I started working toward the other side of the room because I think
The other thing to keep in mind while making this decision is we only needed to kill three more drakes, and then the fight was over. And like I kind of thought that the big room up north would have some flame demons in it, and we had taken some hits at this point, right? Like we had definitely at this point noticed. We didn't have our normal tank anymore, and we'd also noticed that everybody's trying to get used to that. We're not quite playing as efficiently as we will later on when we kind of get used to the role switching. And so I was definitely looking to avoid taking any more extra monsters on than we had to.
There is one note we got to share on this, though, because the debate did go for a minute or so while we were trying to decide. But I believe in frustration at one point, Sherlock exclaimed something I had never heard before in response saying to Herd arguing, no, there's going to be treasure in there and we could get it. I believe he said something along the lines of, well, whoopee-taw.
Yep, I did. Whoopee-taw. And you know what? That won that debate. Thank you very much.
It did actually. Like how, you don't come back from that.
Yeah. Like we were just, so we all were stunned at that point. So yeah, I guess we're doing the other room.
Which actually that other room had quite a few things in it. Luckily, it was all drakes, so we kind of were able to divide and conquer. I got to try out some of my lost cards to good effect. And I believe DJ Bloodrite was helping pump me up a little bit in doing that.
Yeah.
Spinning those tunes.
That's right.
DJ Bloodrite on the ones and twos.
Woo woo. Yeah, I remember burning cards over here because we were at the end, and I'm pretty sure I was pretty low already, like really low on health and low on cards. I'd actually had to pitch more cards than I ever had because
yep.
I was running into
you tried taking for a little bit too.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
But yeah, so we went through that north door, and there was what, three of each? Three spitting drakes, three rending drakes? And there was like three kind of up north and three down south. So we pretty quickly decided like, look, we're just going to go off like this group of three that we need and finish the scenario.
Yeah. I actually was able to get good use out of I've got a lost card that generates a couple elements, gives me an XP, attack four and target all enemies at exactly range two, which is a weird little card, but there was a good situation to use it.
Oh, yeah. I remember using that. Yeah.
Despite... You know, we've kind of described this scenario as, I think it sounded, this description we just ran through sounded easier than it was. We definitely took some big hits from time to time, and we're scrambling around to deal with them. We dealt with them, right? We have enough healing from DJ Bloodrite and enough people willing to kind of swap off the tanking duties that we made it through, but it was definitely, we were kind of out of our element a little bit in some of these situations here.
Yeah, you know, if we had the traditional setup, we really would have just kind of blown through this.
Yeah.
Yep. It was a new party makeup. I mean, I was still pretty fresh with Loquacious. You were just starting off with Sherlock.
Now, I noticed there's a scenario note at the bottom of this, Steve. Would you like to read that to the class?
Yeah, sure. So just going back to that debate about Northern Room Whoop-ita! Versus Western Room.
Whoop-ita!
The Northern Room, turns out, actually had fewer enemies than the room we went into, did have a pretty sweet treasure, and still had enough drakes for us to complete the scenario.
Okay, I will point out, it had one fewer enemy and three more elites.
Whoop-ita!
I mean, yeah.
It also had treasure.
Yeah, man. You know what that treasure was going to be?
Exploding in my face?
Because I do. It would not have exploded in your face. I'll tell you that much, Skip.
I'm positive if I had gone in there, like, life itself would have changed and it would have been an explosion.
Oh, man. That item, just the name of it, sounds awesome. That's too bad. That's
right?
Too bad.
Yeah. Gone forever. Thanks.
Yeah.
Bye.
It's fine. Yeah, it's whatever. We
beat that scenario.
Right? Like, that was the real win.
Yeah.
Yep. So we wrapped that scenario up, and we're kind of reflecting on our performance, trying to figure out what we need to do better next time. When Steve has a great idea as far as he's concerned on what we can do better next time, that kind of caught at least me, kind of caught me for a bit of a surprise.
I mean, that was kind of the point. Do you want to do food first? We'll do that as a hook.
Sure. Oh. Yeah.
And then just come right back to it.
Yeah, that works.
Keep them hanging. But for dinner that night, we're doing beer brought chili dog sliders.
Yep.
And banana Foster for real this time.
Take two.
I didn't screw up the caramel. And you actually commented on it, Casey, that you could tell the difference and it was significant and it was better.
It was.
So I was glad I did it again.
I'm sure you can improve on it more if you want to give it another go. But, I mean, yeah.
Well,
I'm willing to go through that as many times as it takes.
The other thing. Oh, man, we're just not getting it right. I was actually going to do like something crazy and like wrap it in mochi, and then the mochi didn't come out good.
Right.
So I was like, whatever.
That's right.
But the one thing I did different on this sauce for the caramel, instead of just doing rum, I did like half rum, half amaretto, and I think that came out pretty good.
Yeah, you also decided not to burn it, so that was a strong play as well.
Well, whoop-ita!
It was very tasty.
Yep.
But yeah, so I had to redeem myself from the bad bananas Foster, which was still
not bad. It was just not to your standard of excellence.
Yeah, I care about you guys. I want to give you nothing but the best.
Oh. Speaking of giving us nothing but the best.
Woo! Guess what Loquacious did after the scenario?
What could he have done? He's a new party member. He's not doing that much yet other than throwing things.
Yeah, but the thing was, you know, got a little gold from that. Looked through my equipment, did some math, realized I could sell it off and get exactly the 200 gold I needed to retire, and I totally freaked out.
Which is a pretty damning statement on that character,
right?
Class,
like,
in your opinion.
It's okay. So early on, he would have been a lot of fun, I think, but that low initiative was really killing me, and. Like, it limits his ability to tank because he can't get out ahead of people. And I was super, super curious what the three arrows was going to be. Which, by the way, I saw as spears and decided before I even knew what the character was going to be, male or female, it was going to be Brittany.
Yes. Yep.
So am I spoiling that class now?
Oh, yeah. Go right ahead. We put it in the notes beforehand.
Yep. And we need it for the next scenario.
Sweet. So, yep. So, Brittany is in fact a quartermaster. I forget Valroth is the race?
Yes.
Yeah. She has a lot of interesting cards. It's about restocking kind of items spent and consumed. You can give people cards back. There's this weird combo trick you can do with a stamina potion so you never, ever lose a card.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
But yeah, so, you know, like Loquacious, I get to learn her sort of at the seat of my pants in scenario, trial by fire.
Yeah.
I think I did all right, though.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The cool thing about you taking this character retiring right now, that gives us another checkmark on prosperity. which bumps our prosperity level up to 5, which means I instantly got to level up to level 5. And so I only had to spend one level at level 4, or one scenario at level 4. So I ended up taking Obsidian Charge for level 5, which is it's not a loss. On the top, it's an attack 2, range 3, target 2. But then I can spend, if I spend both a fire and an earth element, I add plus 3 to the attack. So that can be 2 attack 5s on that turn. The bottom also allows me to generate 2 elements that I have a harder time generating in frost and night. So that's good, especially like I know at level, I think 7, I get a crazy card that I need night for. So I was going to go ahead and prep that now.
Nice.
Okay. And so that's that Drake thing was kind of a one-off. We kind of had a standstill on a lot of missions. We decide what we're going to do is go to a place called it's scenario number 13, the Temple of the Seer, which we opened this up when we were chasing down Jexera. We could have come here and gotten information on her whereabouts.
But then we just went to her whereabouts and killed her.
Yeah. We went to Hale. Remember, we went to the crazy enchanter lady and got the information that way, I believe. But apparently this guy can, this voice here at the temple can answer any question. So we're like, okay, maybe that unlocks some cool stuff.
And I've been trying to figure out why kids love Cinnamon Toast Crunch for like 20 years.
Dude, I ate Cinnamon Toast Crunch for breakfast.
That was the
morning.
Old commercial. It was a bad joke. Something we didn't.
Is it the Tanlots? Yes.
Oh, it's a cinnamon sugary swirl. One thing we didn't mention about Steve's new class. You said it refreshes items, but it's got this resting trick where it can just you should explain it, Steve, because this is a really cool thing.
Well, basically, and I refer to this as my version of the long rest, because they're both really low initiative cards, like 95, 98, something like that. And it's basically two different cards you can use in combination with each other. One of them, you can refresh a consumed item, which I'm using on my stamina potion. So I'm getting 3 cards back from that. And then the other lets you just pull 2 discarded cards back into your hand. So essentially, you're cycling cards back into your hand. You never have to put them in a loss. And then I'm right back at play. I mean, I'm not getting health off of it, and it's not refreshing spend items, but I have other cards that can do that for me.
Yeah, I mean, it keeps you... I think when we ended this scenario, you still had... I mean, how many cards were in your... How many cards did you lost at the end of the scenario we're about to play?
I have not lost a single card since I played as Brittany.
You can also help us get cards back too, right?
Yeah.
Yes. That's like the Quartermaster is a really interesting class because there is some heavy hits, does have a lot of health, also a fair amount of support. So I can, there's a card I can put down. I have to scroll through and find it. But basically, it gives me the ability to discard 1 card and give somebody within range 3 or 2 the option to refresh one of their spent items. And since we all have stamina potions, now I can kind of do like a light version of this for everyone else where they can get critical cards back that they'll need for their combos. And we've been using that to pretty good effect.
Yeah, we have. Let's go ahead and jump over to this scenario. Temple of the Seer, number 13. And it's only 2 rooms, which I think that's the first map I can recall with just 2 rooms.
Well, aside from the one we cheesed the crap out of.
Well, yeah. So stone golems, cave bears, living spirits, spitting drakes here, handful of traps. And yeah, we just had to kind of kill them all. So we started in the front room, 2 normal, 2 elite stone golems. In the back room, which we'll get to, had quite a few nasties in there to fight around, and there's a lot of obstacles to maneuver around. So it's definitely going to put our new tank friend to the test.
Whoop, whoop.
And so this first room, I can mention, we got some stone golems in there. DJ Bloodright attempts to tank at the beginning. It was mainly so you could wound everybody, which for the stone golems with their shield is pretty nice.
Yeah. So I can't remember what happened, but one of them got moved or something. So it was like 3 were like right next to each other. So I jumped right in the middle and immediately wounded, which is, it's a lost card, but I think it was worth it against these guys. And I got to throw an attack 5, I think, on somebody else.
It was lovely.
It was a nice start, but Ooh, that was the only nice part about it. They were not happy with that.
Yeah, it turns out they're still stone golems.
Yeah.
Yep. And Herd decided to catch a ride on whatever the golem uses to pull people to him.
Well, you know, it seemed like a good idea.
Goes and hangs out with an elite. So Brittany and Sherlock were like, well, Herd's probably got that elite, no problem. We'll focus on the other one. We take care of our elite. And then we go to help Herd finish off his elite. DJ Bloodright is trying to fix the damage that elite is doing to Herd.
Herd's face.
Yeah. And then, we go ahead and we take out the elites first. Then we focus on the normals. And then almost immediately we see what sort of tricks Brittany has up.
Yeah.
Is it a him or her?
I don't know why you have to establish
gender
that.
Gender fluid? Yeah, it's a they.
Well, what pronoun do I need to use when referring to Brittany?
Brittany they, self, Brittany kind.
she is Brittany for we are many.
Well, you said she, so there you go.
All right, anyway.
Gender fluid.
It's just
okay. Well, you let me know when those waves change.
The card.
It's Brittany, bitch. That's all it is.
Yeah. Yeah,
there you go,
Brittany, bitch. You refer to Brittany as Brittany. But the card that helps out is called Continual Supply, and it's at the end of my turn. I can discard. Oh, it's adjacent ally. Sorry, the range one was a different card. But it allows an adjacent ally to refresh a consumed item. And I think at the end of that room, I got Herd's stamina potion back. So Herd was like back up to full cards, ready to bust in the next room.
Yeah,
and she did.
I was feeling good. You know, I had a health pack. I had my cards. You know, it's time to go in and really teach these guys what for. Bust in.
Hell yeah.
You also had an invisibility cloak, which kind of probably boosted that confidence.
I have no
confidence.
Idea what you're talking about.
Right?
Bust in.
It's the cloak you have that makes you invisible.
Throw a trap again, because like throwing traps, first of all, that's, you know, that's 5 damage and no shield blows or anything like that, right?
Yeah. In my head, by the way, I just picture you run in and you're doing basically a handspring, like a forward somersault handspring, where you're grabbing the trap, and as you come up and over, that's how you're hurling
it. All right, that's fair. But I also get 2 experience off that card. So, you know, any chance I have to use it, aside from I just love doing it, it's a great XP builder. But I run in, bust one with the trap, and there's some columns or pillars or whatever in the room. So, you know, being smart, I duck behind the column and, you know, wrap up in a warm blanket of invisibility.
I'm not going to say that's not smart.
It was very smart.
It's very smart. Not exactly selfless.
Not a tank. No. Also a scoundrel. I have a
Valid. You were supposed to be different.
No.
And that might be the last thing we talk about Herd for the remainder of this scenario, because I don't know if Herd came out from behind that pillar ever again.
Oh, yeah, no. Because Brittany comes in after Herd's hucking traps at people, moves up the right, thinking, okay, Herd's got the left, we'll take the right. Everything kind of aggroes towards Brittany, so even when Herd is no longer invisible, Brittany is now the closest thing to the enemies.
Yeah, the column puts it just keeps me one more away than Brittany. So, you know, it's a nice, comfortable spot for me.
And also, Sherlock sees Brittany for the walking mound of hit points that she is and decides to stay behind her, keeping the enemies between him.
It was a great call. And DJ Bloodright keeping Brittany alive.
That's right. So we had the tank, we had some damage coming out from behind the tank, and we had the healer. We had a nice little trinity of awesomeness going on there.
Oh, yeah.
I do say so myself.
Which was good, because there were bears on that side, and I took a few heavy hits from that.
Yeah. Now, Garrett, haven't you picked up the Doom Compass that my brute sold? And there was definitely enough traps in this room for you to make use of that as well. That item has a place near and dear to my heart. I'm glad to see it is carrying on.
Yeah,
in my,
I mean,
hell yeah.
You know, I wasn't using anything for that area, and it's too good to not have.
It's a surprisingly
It really
it's
does.
It's got a lot of utility.
For a two-space move, right? Like, it's, it doesn't even sound like much, but there's so many situations that it has just changed a battle.
Yeah.
But, you know, speaking of changing the battle, I decided to go for a great feat of strength. I needed to kill somebody to show the party how it was done. And as you know, DJ Bloodright hands out these movement packs that we can use to move to. Turns out you can kill people with them as well. So I got my first kill with a med pack, and oh, I was happy. It felt
good. Yeah, you smashed a Drake over the skull with it,
and,
if I recall.
You know, it felt good. It felt right. Would have been better if I critted, but you know.
Did it feel no. Blood right?
Oh.
No. That's fine. Yeah, sure.
It was worth a shot.
I just pictured DJ Bloodright, like a doctor, right? Educated and watching all these idiot, like a brute, like, oh, I can walk with this. Or the scoundrel, like, smacking things with it. And he's just like, ah, frick.
Put the Band-Aid on!
I'm pretty sure DJ Bloodright stopped handing out med packs after that.
Quite possible.
Right? He's like, if you guys aren't going to use them properly, nobody gets them.
You could either move with them or throw them on the fucking ground. Sorry.
These are for movement only, damn it.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a whole lot more to say about this combat. We're kind of to the point where, yeah, the drakes in the back were nasty, but they were kind of distracted by Herd for a while, and then we were able to move in there and finish them. Living Spirits just...
They don't do much.
They don't do much anymore, man.
They're like,
they die. They die real good.
And then we kill them.
So probably the biggest thing we're talking about here is we did have a decision to make of what sort of information we wanted to get from this voice. And because we're done with Jextra and all that junk, so that limited it a little bit. And our choice was, do we want great power or
should've
great
gone with
wealth?
Power, but, you know.
Or to figure out when season 4 of Rick and Morty's coming.
Hello.
We decided on great wealth, and that, well, there was a bit of a discussion there, which one we wanted to take.
But I mean, money is power, so.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, we went with that one, and that unlocked the Lost Island, scenario number 17 for us, which we went to immediately.
Because these have all been pretty snappy scenarios, you know.
Yeah, so this was a connected one?
Yes. Well, I say that. Hold on. Let me double check. No, it's not. It was not connected. The
were
okay,
both
I think that
connected. Is that what it was?
To it right now. The number 17 is the Lost Island. Yeah. It was linked to Gloomhaven, so we didn't do the road.
That's right. That's right.
Because it was out in the ocean, but it was not linked to number 13. Gotcha.
I kind of want to know what the power
is. Yeah, I remember.
Was
The power is yours.
Cool. That Don Cheadle, Captain America, is the greatest thing ever.
Right? We got to recycle more. We'll start with jokes, and then move out from
there. So, the Lost Island, it had more than one kind of treasure for us, I think, you could say.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, just completely unrelated note. Casey, what's your life goal card currently with that character?
To kill 15 vermlings, sir.
Oh, yes. That would explain the weird vermling murder boner you were getting when we.
Which, by the way,
level.
Could a more perfect union have ever been made than you and that life goal?
Right?
No.
I think
I'll tell you what. Go ahead.
I was going to say, only if it had been on his brute, that would have only been the perfect one.
Oh, man. I flip over the scenario and I just see.
You started
there's
laughing.
There's three things in this. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It was
ridiculous.
You were
straight up giddy.
There's cave bears, and you know there's not going to be a ton of cave bears, and then it's just vermling scouts and vermling shamans, and then like I'm just kind of looking over the rooms for the room setup, and it is just flooded with bad guys. I can only imagine how many of these guys I'm going to kill. They got low hit points. I can do multi-target attacks. They're just going to start popping them like popcorn. It's going to be so good.
Yeah. Wow, you know, just...
So good.
It's a little creepy.
This is why Tots described you as lawful evil earlier.
I thought that was too, because
no,
I'm a rules lawyer.
Also, but you know, for the rules lawyer, you drop the ball a lot.
To be fair, it's a pretty involved game.
Hey, guys,
game.
We're 5 months in, but guess what about short rest?
Hey, that was important. And that doesn't
get important. Scoring doesn't have to be bad, I guess, right? It just means just you're the one with your finger on the pulse of the anus.
Of the rules.
By finger on the pulse, that means I've read the rule book.
I mean, yeah. You also had your finger on the pulse of these vermlings as you were choking the life out of them.
Oh, yeah.
I want to feel it leave your body.
I did.
You're not a melee character. Get back here.
But yeah, so this first room, guys, in this first room, there were 8 vermlings. And there's also a bear, I guess, too, if you care about that.
We were done eating, and he was still salivating.
So I believe Herd went off to the east side of the map. That was where a big chunk of the vermlings were over there. There's an elite he went to lock up. And then GJ Bloodright gave Brittany and Sherlock some shields.
Yep.
And then we just start doing some range attacks.
I'm pretty sure we were just shoulder to shoulder firing off bows and spells and crap.
Yeah.
Because they all came up and just blocked us in, but it didn't seem to matter.
I remember there was a low sweeping camera, like in The Avengers, as we're just offing these vermlings.
We wasted no time. It's like Herd got a kill, then Brittany got a kill, then Sherlock got 2 kills off of target 2 attack. Then DJ Bloodright's like, oh, I can do this too. Like we mopped through this
breaking
room
out the
quite quickly.
To beat some ass with it.
So I think the one holdup we had here was the shaman. There was a shaman in here, and the shaman was a little confused probably because there was no brute for him to screw over. I think he settled for Herd and kind of messed with him while a bear attacked him. I don't really know what was going on with that whole bear fight. I was a little
busy. You
were
blacked out, and then you just came to, and there was a bunch of dead vermin.
Blood drunk.
Right? We actually had a bear on our side, too. That came after us, and Brittany wounded it, and then just kind of like, ah, screw it, this bear's pretty injured, I'm gonna go help Herd.
Yeah, I went to go help Herd too, but I went to help Herd with the vermling shaman part.
You could get that
bear part. But the funny part was, we had that bear, and we just kind of left DJ Bloodright with it. And he's like, well, I'm not gonna be able to kill it. And we're like, it's fine, it's wounded, just let's go.
Oh man, we did end up killing that bear though. I think we had like some people at a rest or something, so we might as well. Then we opened room 2 and I lost it again.
It was let's see, we had 7 vermling. There were 3 elite scouts and 4 normal scouts, and every tile that wasn't vermling was gold.
No. There were 7 vermling in a 14 hex room.
You know, if we had really wanted to, we could have set this up in such a way that you probably could have retired out of this scenario, right?
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you're enjoying this class, and so that, you know, we didn't go out of our way to leave last hits for you.
You didn't have to. You really didn't have to. Oh, the vermin poured out of that room a little bit, which was actually good, because those jerks were doing loot actions.
Herd got almost as excited as Sherlock seeing all that gold. And then the first action these vermlings do is like a loot 1, and just they take all the gold out of the room immediately.
Yeah, and they don't have the decency to redrop it when they die, so I don't know what they did with it.
They dropped it when they died.
I think they had it on them. But I just explodinated 3 of them. Like, it probably just flew off somewhere into the blitz. I don't know.
He was all zot, zot.
Zot, zot, zot.
That's the other fun word that appeared during this session.
Yeah, Sherlock's a fun guy. All right.
Vermling pouring out, dying on the corpses of their fallen brethren.
Then DJ Bloodright finally shows up and just starts looting stuff. Like, oh,
again,
hey.
Before Herd can get there. Right.
in the same round, because I seem to recall Tots actually saying that was my plan this turn.
It was solid.
Yep. Sorry. For once.
Which, you know, it's only fair that you, it's only fair that you screw someone else's plan up, right? Like,
You've earned some credit.
We do that to you.
But yeah, so Herd, somewhat angrily, is like, screw it, room three, here we go. To reveal almost the same thing.
Only six vermlings in this room.
But any square that's not vermling is money. Like, it's beautiful.
And we did still, I believe the shamans in here were starting to heal and be all stupid and stuff. But still, like, I mean, vermling, there's just, guys, I think we can all agree we had a lot of fun killing these things, right?
Oh,
I mean,
they're
just so cool.
Very soft bodies.
They are.
So, it was much the same. Herds going in, they're stabbing stuff and grabbing at gold. We're all back there zot-zotting. DJ Bloodrite's just trying to keep up with the slaughter.
Yeah, and, you know, as always, shamans
are
just
assholes.
Before
we clear room three, though, I'm pretty sure that was when Herd decides to make a break for the last room. Realizing she's still got her cloak, so why the hell not, right?
Right. Plus, there was a chest in there, so we got to go after that. There was a bear and only three vermlings.
Yeah, they
kind of
pulled back into
that
third room, so they were kind of stuck between the group of us and Herd.
I'm pretty sure there might have been, you know, that room was full of vermlings, but when they saw the vermling murderer running down the aisle, they all
get out! Get out while you can!
This dude is
just this, like, little elementalist just drenched in blood.
I want to know that guy's backstory that he hates him so much.
I know. It's on the card. I think his, like, whole village got slaughtered by vermin.
The most messed up part is, like, the dog toy squeaky sound they make when they die.
which, by the way, looking at my backstory, now there's some vermling out there who is the only survivor of this massacre. It's like the
elementalist. I hope that's your next unlock, is you get a vermling class, and that's the story. And it's just an endless cycle of violence.
You guys, Herd went in there and was like, oh crap, cloak. You guys were like, well, all right, we got to finish off room three. And no, we do not, because there's some real good targets in this next room.
Everything's
clustered together. Some AoEs happened, and then there weren't guys.
Yeah.
There weren't guys in there anymore.
It was a fun little scenario. This was one of the ones, the first time in a while, actually.
It was.
I don't think any of us was worried about finishing it.
Yeah. There weren't all the tank concerns and stuff, right? This was just, hey, let's go in here and just beat the shit out of stuff
and
get money
for the end. Like, Sherlock wasn't even he was just stepping on them.
Yeah. There's tons and tons of money tokens, and then we all got 25 gold as a reward on top of that. We were feeling real good about money. This was my second scenario with this class. I got to upgrade a card after this scenario, which is pretty great. But my life goal is to kill 15 vermling. I had 11 at the end of this scenario.
Yeah.
And it could have easily been the 15. Like,
it could have. There's at least two guys I took down to one hit point.
Yeah.
Now compare that to Herds, who needs to kill cultist and bandits, and is got what, two
out of how many?
I think I've got six, but I think I need like 20 or 25.
That's okay. Maybe we'll get one like that, and then all the cultists start with only 3 health.
I mean, there's always the chance that I will just force retire this guy at some point, but, you know, I'm level 9, I've level 8, I've got a good, you know, flow going. I'm not tired of the class. Yeah,
plus
it, you know,
we just kind of opened up.
We're on the flip side. I'm really enjoying this. On the flip side, I really enjoy this elementalist a few scenarios in, but I know the next time we see vermlings,
I want to keep you in. But yeah, so we cleared that one pretty easy.
And that actually got me to level 9.
Nice.
Now, I still had another perk point I needed to get, you know, but that got me, up to level 9 and feeling pretty good about that. there was some decent cards to choose from, if you want me to talk about that real quick.
Sure.
So I didn't immediately take one of these into my hand, but so we've got the Long Con, which is an attack four, target all adjacent enemies, disarm. That's good. It's also on a two initiative.
That's better.
The bottom is a loss, but it's force one adjacent normal or elite enemy to perform its turn this round as if its allies were enemies and its enemies were its allies, with you controlling its actions, and get two XP. So a little specific, but if we were fighting like a really good boss or something that had a huge attack, that could be great, you know? So that's the one I selected. It's not in the hand. The other one, though, is Watch It Burn, which is add poison and wound to all of your attacks and get 2 XP. And the bottom is move 5, wound, target all adjacent enemies. Ooh. But it's on a 98.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just mix that with the 2 initiative and it's good to go.
Yeah. And see, I'm working on a build that's like, I don't lose cards, right? And especially with the quartermaster now, with my setup and the fact that I don't have any lost cards, I'm able to just go and go and go. And so I'm real hesitant to put anything in there that is going to rely on me getting a loss.
Someone else got a perk that round, I believe.
But I've also managed to get all of the attack modifiers in there for my perks now. So I've got like invisibles and muddles and plus ones and all that. So anytime I draw an attack now, there's typically like 2 to 4 cards get flipped per attack. Like it's pretty
rad. Skip, you got a perk, right? And that finished something off for you?
Or a check mark, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got my... I got a check mark, and it basically got my fifth perk, I suppose. And that retired my character. So,
I guess we're going to talk about that new one next time.
We can go ahead and say you're unlocking the music note box, correct, but we will dive into that next
spoiler time. Alert, like, correct, it's pretty awesome.
It's also, pretty awesome.
Spoiler alert, next week we meet the most annoying orchid on whatever planet this place is on. It's just the worst.
I'm still mad about that quest. We'll get it. Like, it's just... Yep. Go ahead and say before we go, though, you know, we're at GPub Radio on Twitter, misadventurespodcast.com. It's got links to all of our socials, all of our contact information. Hit us up. We'd love to chat if you have any suggestions about the show, any ideas. And also, you know, we're running the side community campaign right now on Wednesday. So hit that up and check that out. And also look for the upcoming DJ Bloodwright retirement episode will be coming out soon. And we'll have Steve's loquacious. What was his Crackheart? Was he?
Yep. Yeah. We got a brute one coming out too. Yes, we got a lot heading your way.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of bonus episodes, so keep checking Wednesday. So those are going to be pretty busy for a while. And I guess we'll see you guys next Friday.
You've been listening to Misadventures, a Gloomhaven podcast brought to you by Gamer Public Radio. Please join us every Friday for new episodes at misadventurespodcast.com or find us on your podcast application of choice. Music for this podcast is provided by Kevin McLeod. For more of Kevin's work, please check out incompetech.com. See you next time.